Hi, I'm Norman Caruso. Steven, when it comes to playing Pokemon, I only play the blue version. Do I have a problem?
I'm Steven Duncan. Yes, you do. You really need to be checking out that Pokemon Snap.
How could I forget the classic Pokemon Snap?
I don't know, man, but you gotta get on that train and ride it.
I will ride it, and this is the Level 7 Podcast. Today's episode of the Level 7 Podcast, we're talking about the Battlefield 3 open beta.
We're wondering if Nintendo should be worried.
And we'll also be talking about new Xbox 360 coming out in 2 years.
And we're also going to be wondering whether or not Uncharted 3 has sold out.
And our main topic, what can Square Enix do to save the Final Fantasy franchise? But before we get into those topics, let's explain what the hell the Level 7 Podcast is. Level 7 Podcast is two guys debating, sometimes agreeing, on seven different topics going on in the video game industry right now. We also talk about one big topic, which today will be about Final Fantasy. And we'll also have a mailbag section, and if we're lucky, we'll have an interview with somebody. But with that said, let's go to our first topic. Steven, Battlefield 3 Open Beta is out. We've been playing it, and it's kind of buggy. What are your initial thoughts on the beta, and do you think this game is worth picking up on October 25th?
My initial thought when I read this was, it's a beta. Betas are buggy. Whenever someone holds an open beta, they are asking the general public to be their game testers. You know, they're opening up to the world and they're trying to get as many people to play it so they can find as many bugs before the initial release comes out.
Yeah, and they actually said this game is a month old. This beta is a month old. It's not even a real beta.
Right, and they've also said that the purpose of this beta isn't to test the gameplay. They are going to take notes and they are going to, you know, see if something kind of slipped through the cracks. But for the most part, they're testing their servers. That's the data they want.
Yeah, and there are bugs in this game, absolutely. You can fall through the map. That's one big one. When you crawl on the ground, you look like this worm creature. It's buggy as all mess, and there's slow menus. There's a bunch of tabs everywhere. It can be kind of confusing, but even with the bugs, I think it's a really fun teamwork-based first-person shooter. I think I'm definitely going to pick this up on October 25th.
Yeah, I haven't really caught on with the whole ride of war shooters. Never really got into Call of Duty. However, when I actually sat down and looked at this game and saw what it could present, I was kind of excited. It might be the game that changed my mind. You know, I tried Battlefield 1943. I thoroughly enjoyed that, and if this game just happens to expand upon that, I think I'll be pleasantly surprised.
Now, Steven, you and I go way back to Medal of Honor Allied Assault on the PC. Why don't you remember that, huh?
There's this blur during my period. I don't really remember. We don't talk about it much anymore.
Okay.
So, Norm, should Nintendo be worried? This past year, Nintendo profits have dropped 66%. The Wii is being outsold by both the PS3 and the 360, and the Wii U won't even be here for another year. And even that system's going through production problems. The Nintendo 3DS is also underachieving. Will Nintendo ever be the same again?
No, I don't think they'll ever be the same again, but they will be fine during this little slump they're going through. Here's what I think. Nintendo hasn't been the same since the Super Nintendo. And I'm going to throw some sales figures at you real quick. Mm-hmm. Okay, Nintendo 64 sells 32 million copies. PlayStation sells 102 million copies, okay? That's like triple. GameCube sells 21 million copies, okay? Goes down a little bit. PlayStation 2 sells 153 million copies. I mean, it completely blew the GameCube out of the water. The Wii has sold very well, 87 million. You've got all the handhelds. Nintendo has been dominating the handheld franchise. But they're
well,
never...
Coming, Coming up shortly, they're going to, I think, go through their first rough patch in the handheld market. I mean, no one can remember a time where Nintendo went, oh man, we don't have this overwhelming domination in handheld market. But right. The 3DS really isn't meeting their goals at all. And one of the things that concerns me about Nintendo is the production problems with the Wii U, where even companies are coming out saying, you know, we can't really develop on it. If this system is made to be coming out in Christmas of next year, okay, I'm fine with that. They'll work out the bugs by then. You know, that's actually kind of typical growing problems. If they're expecting to release it in spring, we might have some serious issues on our hands. You know, Nintendo's kind of got this reputation for not having good third-party support. Mm-hmm. And if they can't get proper production kits out to third parties in time for launch, we're going to have another system where we're like, oh, where's the good game library at?
Yeah, and you know, apparently they're using kind of cheap parts to keep the system price down, so trying to do too much with too little. Mm-hmm. Steven, new siphon filter coming. According to the UK version of the official PlayStation magazine, a new siphon filter is currently in the works for the PlayStation Vita and will be released in 2012. What do you think of this?
Okay. Here's one of my big dark secrets. Never played any of the siphon filters.
Oh my God.
Okay. Now that everybody has recovered from that reeling, you know,
I'm okay.
Dark
I'm okay.
Fact. Okay.
I'll
good.
Be okay.
Take a breath, get some water. You'd be all right.
Okay.
I did research. I actually looked at this game. One of the reasons I didn't really play it is because when it came out, I was younger. I wasn't into realistic stuff. I was really looking for more fantasy type things back in that era. However, with this topic, I look back at the games I'm currently enjoying. Deus Ex. I've enjoyed the Metal Gear series. And then there's the Batman Arkham series. All those revolve around stealth, and that's what Siphon Filter does, is this kind of stealth action hybrid. So I'm starting to warm up to it. I'm starting to think that maybe I can get into it. My big concern is, though, that it's going to just dumb itself down to one of these cover-based shooters that we're getting by the shovel full this generation.
Yeah, and it's possible it might turn into that, but I think this is a really good, strong first-party title from Sony. I mean, this is exactly what they need for the Vita, because the Vita needs to come out swinging. I mean, you're going up against Nintendo in the handheld market. I mean, you've got to come, you know, you got to go balls to the wall, okay? I played all the Siphon Filters. I played the original on the PlayStation. It was a great game. And the one on PSP, Dark Mirror, that was one of the best games for the PlayStation Portable. So this is a really good move by Sony.
I think so, too. I think Sony really does need to come out with strong support, with strong games, because not only are they fighting against Nintendo, who, you know, we just said might falter a little bit, they're fighting against bad press, you know.
Mm-hmm.
E3, even though they had this big reveal and, oh, look, we have this new piece of technology, didn't really do that piece of technology any favors. You know, people are still talking about the bad battery life. People are still complaining that it's AT&T exclusive, even though we just went through this debacle with all the iPhone applications. So, Norm, Uncharted 3 hero Nathan Drake is now doing Subway commercials. The latest TV spot features Nathan Drake in their Taste for Adventure sweepstakes. Is this ridiculous, or have video games just gotten to that point in the media?
It's not ridiculous at all. I mean, you've had video games supporting restaurants and having tie-ins for years. I don't know if you remember some of the Sonic toys for McDonald's way back in the early 90s. So it's not ridiculous. They are really pushing it, because I don't think I've ever seen a video game character do like a complete sweepstakes for a restaurant. But Subway is delicious. I love Subway. I think it's a great choice.
Yeah, I think our memories are kind of shortened. Do you remember Nintendo cereal? Because for some reason I do.
Oh, with the Zelda Mario?
Yeah, and I, like that was okay, but Nathan Drake doing commercials for Subway, oh no, you know. Here's my thing. I think this is a great move from a business point of view. Games cost millions of dollars to make in this age. Uncharted 2 costs $20 million to make. These companies need to find external revenues, and that's going to come through, you know, advertisements. And right. I'd rather my video game character be in a commercial than a commercial be in my video game, because that's kind of where we're going, and that's kind of like the dangerous horizon.
That's a great point, and that's really annoying. EA Sports is notorious for that, throwing you know, advertisements all over the game.
Right. And the thing is, now, whether or not it was a good idea, subject matter wise, okay, we can kind of question that. But if you think about what Uncharted is and what that game is, there's really no other industry that's gonna like really support it like Subway can. You know, they can't go to Wrangler. You know, Brett Favre might get mad.
Brett Favre's got that market cornered. All right. Really does. We're going to take a break. When we come back, our main topic: what can Square Enix do to save the Final Fantasy franchise? We'll be right back.
Fan of the show? Get regular updates on Facebook and Twitter at Level 7 Cast.
Welcome back to the Level 7 Podcast. I'm Norman.
I'm Steven.
All right, let's go to our main topic. And this topic is a little dear to our hearts, Steven, because we grew up with the Final Fantasy franchise. We played all these games, but Final Fantasy is kind of gone to the wayside. What can Square Enix do to kind of pick up this franchise and save it?
That's hard, because it isn't like one game made this turnaround. This is actually something they've been kind of diving towards over the past decade. We've seen it coming. Let me talk numbers first, so we can talk whether or not they need to fix anything financially. I figure I might as well get the boring stuff out of the way first.
All right, let's hear it.
Okay. Final Fantasy VII, which we can all agree was Square Enix's most popular Final Fantasy.
Most popular, but is it your favorite?
No. No.
It's not mine either, but no. I would agree it is the most popular.
Right. And it sold the most. It sold 10 million copies, okay? And then, you know, the numbers kind of dwindle after that. The latest game, Final Fantasy XIII, has sold roughly 6.2 million copies. Now, when you initially hear that, you think, well, something is financially wrong. Hold up. The Final Fantasy VII was back in the big RPG boom. You know, that's when those games were selling. Right. RPGs aren't selling these days. It doesn't matter how pretty they look, or even how good they are, they just don't sell.
Well, surely Final Fantasy could pick up a little slack. I mean, they're being challenged by Atlus and, you know, all these other smaller RPG developers, and they're clearly making better RPGs these days than the Final Fantasy ones.
Absolutely. I completely agree. I am, you know, years ago, and Norm, you can attest to this because you were around when I used to talk about this all the time. I used to love Square, before it was Square Enix, back when it was just Squaresoft. I used to love that company. I've kind of jumped off that bandwagon and have firmly put my feet in that Atlas bandwagon.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I think they're starting to do things correct. I think one of the first things Square can do is, let's stop doing the MMOs. WoW has it. Let them be, you know, like Final Fantasy XI came out and people were like, don't do this again. You know, like it was serviceable, but serviceable doesn't work in MMOs when, you know, the quintessential MMO is already out.
Mm-hmm.
So what they do, they came out with Final Fantasy 14.
And that was a horrible move. And I remember they announced that after they announced Final Fantasy 13 on the Xbox 360. And they go, and now we have Final Fantasy 14. It's an MMO. And everyone was just like, yay.
Yeah, hooray, we get to go through this all over again. We get to tell Square that this really isn't, their bag. They really, really need to get out of that.
Mm-hmm.
I think once you get past that, you need to look at what has been done wrong with the current titles. And if you look at the past four, two of them are MMOs. So we have to kind of take them out. So we have a really small sample size. We just have 12 and 13. 10 is odd because it was in that kind of transitional period.
Mm-hmm.
It had a couple things wrong with it, but it also did a couple things right. I enjoyed 10 enough not to say, oh, that one, that's what's wrong with Final Fantasy.
Right. And that game was a little more linear than the previous titles. And now you've got Final Fantasy 13, which apparently is like totally linear.
There's
no world map at all, apparently.
No. And I don't think the loss of a world map is that detrimental. I get it. They kind of want to go more in depth. They don't want to do this overarching thing. But you kind of hit on that point of being linear.
Mm-hmm.
That was the huge problem with 13. It's like, you can't really expand on anything because I'm going down what's basically pretty corridors. That's it. And one of the huge, huge, huge issues with 13 was it took 20 hours to fully unlock the game.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't get your full party. You didn't get you didn't get to do everything you could in battle. You had to wait 20 hours of what was basically a demo and a tutorial.
And see, I haven't played Final Fantasy 13, and I know you have all the way. Mm-hmm. And one thing I think they need to stop is these little spinoff games. Fabula Nova Crystallis. I know they announced that, and it's like, what the hell is that? And you've got Final Fantasy 13, you've got Final Fantasy 13 2, and then you have Final Fantasy 13 Versus. And they did this before with Final Fantasy X. You had Final Fantasy X 2. And I think if they just cut out those sequels and just put out, the standard Final Fantasy games, Final mm-hmm. Fantasy 14, Final Fantasy 15.
Yeah, I think the when you're talking about the spinoffs, I really think that was something they've done completely and awfully wrong. They haven't done a spinoff yet that made me go, that was worth it. Final Fantasy X-2, it was Barbies, man. That's all it was. You played dress up.
It was a fanboy's dream, apparently, because they were wearing scantily clad clothing. And
right, and then they did that the PSP game for Final Fantasy VII. I played through that whole game, and like it did nothing for me. It did nothing for the legacy that was Final Fantasy VII. They went back and did a sequel to Final Fantasy IV. I love Final Fantasy IV. That was one of the games that got me into RPGs.
Right.
That title, like Final Fantasy IV, is just this kind of wrapped up thing. It's there. It is self-contained. And then we have this sequel that tries to open it back up, and it was a wreck. They released it in segmented portions. They rehashed most of the story. They brought back characters that had no business being back.
Mm-hmm.
Why are you going to do spinoffs again? Do you remember you remember Final Fantasy Tactics, correct?
Right, absolutely.
Okay, we should have known spinoffs were wrong when they did Final Fantasy Tactics Advance.
I can agree with that.
I think that was like, that opened my, that was like the first thing they did. And I'm like, this is terrible. I couldn't even finish that game, and I love Tactics. Ugh.
Mm-hmm. And I think what fans really want to see is some of these remakes, like Final Fantasy III on the DS. That was a good remake, mm-hmm. Because people couldn't experience Final Fantasy III before.
Right.
And I think that was a good release by Square Enix. They remade Final Fantasy IV on the DS, and I didn't play that one, but apparently it was fine. It was just like the original IV, but with updated graphics. And, you know, fans are clamoring now for a Final Fantasy IX remake for whatever reason. Final Fantasy VIII remake, you know, a Final Fantasy VII remake. I mean, maybe Square should just give people what they want. And
yeah, when you talk about the Final Fantasy IV remake, let me just touch on that real quick.
Sure.
Because I finished it. I did think it was a good game, but it was kind of odd because there's all these super deformed kind of graphics, and Final Fantasy IV had a couple of kiddish moments, but by and large, it's, you know, for its time, it was kind of mature. You know, there was, you know, entire cities being obliterated, genocide was committed, and now I'm looking at it with all these super deformed graphics. It was either incredibly awesome or incredibly disturbing, and after a couple of years, I still haven't decided which. I think getting off of my soapbox on that and getting on to my other soapbox, one of the huge, huge problems that I've had with Final Fantasy as of late are the characters. There are more forgettable ones than there are memorable ones.
Yes.
You know, in Final Fantasy XII, like, I can remember Balthier for some reason, and I can remember the bunny chick with the long legs. And that's about as far as it gets. And when it comes to 13, I can remember Saz, and that's it. And that's just because he's, you know, he stands out because he's black and everybody else is Japanese, and it looks kind of weird.
Now, why do you think you remember the bunny chick with the legs?
Because she was a bunny chick with long legs, and I mean, I don't want to explain that too much without getting a little too graphic.
Well, I will say this: I'm currently playing through 12 again, and I enjoy it, but you're right. It's just the franchise just hasn't been the same, and I think they've got a lot of work to do to get back up to where they were.
Yeah, I agree.
All right. Well, we'll take another quick break. When we come back, we'll finish our three topics, and then we'll hit up the mailbag section. We'll be right back.
Want to hear more? View the episode archives at level7podcast.com.
And welcome back to the Level 7 Podcast. All right, Steven, let's finish off these three topics because I'm kind of hungry.
Yeah, I agree. Talking makes me hungry, and I'm starting to get the grumbles.
Yeah, no one likes grumbles. Well, this next topic might interest you. It's about meat, specifically team meat. Developers of Super Meat Boy have claimed they got, and I quote, fucked by their experience with Microsoft on Xbox Live. Zen Studios stood up for Microsoft and called Team Meat, quote, crybabies. And they also mentioned that the PSN is an almost complete failure in regards to sales. Now, the two companies have taken to Twitter to argue about this. Steven, what are your thoughts on this? And is Zen Studios right about PSN? Is it a complete failure?
Okay, so my original thought was, who argues on Twitter? But after reading the argument, that was the only place they could have done it. It was the only place they could publicly go after one another in the type of pace that they wanted. My second reaction was, who in the hell is Team Zen? Apparently they make pinball games. Pinball game.
I had no idea who the hell Zen Studios was either, and they make this game called Pinball Effects, and they have Pinball Effects 2, and they say they sell really well, but I mean, when you think Super Meat Boy against Pinball Effects 2, I mean, people clearly know what Super Meat Boy is.
Right. I've seen people play Super Meat Boy. I haven't even seen, like, when you go to Xbox Live and you check the achievements, I haven't even seen anybody with Pinball FX in my friends list. But after doing the research and seeing what the argument was, it went from who is Team Zen to who do they think they are? Mm-hmm. You know, they're going after PSN, just as kind of an afterthought, just, hey, you guys suck. You know, they don't actually give any proof or any numbers or any examples. And then the grievance they had with Team Meat did an interview for a website that chronicles game development. You know, it's kind of like a magazine kind of thing. It was written in April.
Mm-hmm.
Team Zen's complaining about it in September. So obviously, it seems to me like they're just a bunch of douchebags trying to get attention for themselves.
Yeah, it sounds like a cry for attention. And, I mean, they might have a point about PSN. I think Xbox Live is clearly better online experience.
Mm-hmm.
But I wouldn't say PSN is a complete failure because it does have more users than Xbox, which it should because it's free.
Right. And it's... I don't know where they get the balls to come out and just and go after everybody. And even later on, they've even said like, oh, man, maybe our little stunt kind of worked in the opposite way we thought it would. And yeah, no duh. Anyway. So Nintendo's Super Mario 3D Land is looking good, Norm. The game is having strong pre-order sales on Amazon.com, and the Nintendo 3DS has seen an increase in sales of 260% since the price drop. Is this going to be the title that pushes the 3DS back in business?
I think it is, and it's not just this title. It's Kid Icarus. It's Mario Kart 7. Nintendo is pushing these first-party titles big time because they know if they don't, 3DS is going to go in a slump again. Now, I'll be honest, I don't think the game looks that impressive. I mean, it is a Mario game, so it's going to be good. Nintendo always puts out good Mario games. One thing I do have a complaint about is the Tanuki suit. You know, it's back in the game, and that's cool. It's nostalgia. You know, you can float around with it. You can turn into a statue, and that was cool in Super Mario Bros. 3. But it's, like, everywhere now. It's in the title of the game, if you've seen the cover. It's on enemies now, and, you know, Mario has it well. It's, like, it's a nostalgia overload, and it's kind of a bad thing.
Yeah, the titles you just mentioned... Kid Icarus and Mario Kart 7. I really think those titles will land into players' hands. I do. I think they're actually going to push systems? Maybe not. If Nintendo does this kind of bundle thing with Mario Kart 7, I can see that pushing a few, but I really see Mario 3D being the one that puts this system into people's hands.
They're probably going to bundle it with the system, wouldn't you imagine?
At some point, I would imagine so. Nintendo has done that with, you know, just with their past handhelds, and it seems to work. The first DS I had, you know, Mario Kart DS in it.
Mm-hmm. And it's definitely going to help, but, you know, this is kind of a recurring thing for Nintendo, which it's not a bad thing, you know, to keep putting out your first-party titles, but it eventually might come back to haunt them. You know, you keep putting out Mario titles, you keep putting out Metroid titles. You know, maybe it's time for a new franchise. That's all
maybe.
I'm saying.
Yeah, maybe. I see where you're coming from, but hey, people trust in their Mario, and, I mean, history has showed that.
That's very true. Now let's get to our last topic. There's a rumor there's a new Xbox currently in the works, and it will be announced at E3 in 2012 and released the holiday season 2013. It's also rumored that Rare and Lionhead Studios are working on games for the system. Steven, what are your thoughts on this?
So the 360 was released 6 years back. We're about to approach its seventh year. The average life cycle for a console is 4 years. It has already blown that benchmark. Like, it is just blown past it.
Well, see, and I was under the impression that PlayStation 3 and 360 would be like 10-year consoles.
Right, and maybe they still will be. Maybe this is just kind of the rumor. But even if we don't hit that 10-year mark, even if we put it out at 2013, that still doubles life cycles. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what they were trying to achieve. Is I know 10 years is a good mark. And I think consoles at some point in our lifetimes will probably start hitting 10-year life cycles. But he here's this pretty, it is pretty good. And it's, even though we're going into its seventh year, it's still going strong. It is still healthy.
Absolutely. But you're right. It is about time for a new console. It makes sense. But I think the biggest thing is they see the Wii U coming out next year. And, you know, they want to make that jump too. They want to compete with Nintendo on this new console. I'm curious to see what the improvements are going to be. But I am glad that Rare and Lionhead Studios are making titles for the release, because those are both really big Microsoft developers and they should have some decent launch titles with this thing.
Well, we'll see. I'm incredibly cautious about those two.
I'm thinking Viva Pinata 3.
Yeah, that's definitely something that they could possibly put out. You know what Lionhead's going to put out? They're going to put out Fable. And when they put out Fable, you know what I'm going to do? I'm not going to care. Just like I did with Fable 1 and Fable 3.
Well, Fable's a good game. I think Fable's good.
Really? Because I tried Fable 2, and I refused to put that back into my Xbox.
Well, you might want to talk to somebody about that.
I'm pretty sure I will.
All right. Let's move on to the mailbag section, boys and girls. Mailbag section is when you can send us questions, comments, and we will respond to them. You can send your emails to level7cast@gmail.com. Again, send your emails to level7cast@gmail.com. And we'll read your question on the air. We'll respond to it. We might even make fun of you.
And please be sure to check out the website, level7podcast.com.
And thanks for watching episode 1 of the Level 7 Podcast. Steven, how do you think that went?
I don't know about you, but I completely bombed it. Just to make sure that the expectations for the next show are pretty low so we can blow the doors off of that.
Yeah, I agree that you were pretty terrible, and I might be looking for a new co-host next week. But until next time, see y'all later.
Goodbye.